Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's driving the conversation in California today? Every weekday at this time, we explore a topic that's making news in our state. This is the State of California.
Good afternoon. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS political reporter and host of The State of California. Well, the Democrats did a lot better than many people thought they would, and than most polls suggested they would in the midterm elections. Holding on to the U.S. Senate looks like losing only a very narrow majority to the Republicans in the House of Representatives. They even gained governorships, which is almost unheard of in midterm elections. And the liberal side carried the day on statewide ballot measures across the country on abortion, marijuana legalization, and other issues. We said all along this election would come down to turnout. And one of the demographic groups that turned out in droves for the Democrats was the youth vote, including first-time voters under the age of 30. And for more on this, we're joined today on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Abby Kisa. She is Deputy Director of CIRCLE, that's the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University. It is one of the foremost organizations in the country studying the youth vote. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So what have you guys found in terms of how great the turnout was among younger voters this time around?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question, Doug. We saw in the 2022 election that it was the third election cycle where young people 18 to 29 years old had relatively high voter turnout. In the 2022 election, we saw that young people turned out at a rate that was the second highest midterm turnout in the past 30 years, second only to the 2018 election. So we saw substantial youth voter turnout compared to other midterm elections. And we also, as you stated, saw substantial influence of young voters on what ultimately ended up happening in federal races.
So the turnout was actually lower than in 2018, but still historically high. So what drove younger voters to the polls this time? What motivated them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different things that helps young people get to the polls, and it differs based on young people's experiences and the communities that they're in. One of the things that we regularly track is the issues that young people care about, because, you know, as many of your listeners know, young people care deeply about issues that face their communities, that face their friends and families, and are often, you know, in the streets or in Capitol buildings fighting for issues. And so this year we saw a number of issues really rise to the fore. You know, we continue to see climate change as something that young people are really trying to stand up for in a number of different ways. And of course, this year we saw the Dobbs decision related to reproductive justice, something that young people were really mobilizing around. And this is actually one thing that in the exit poll from the 2022 election, we saw young voters say that that is one thing that they prioritized in their vote for the election, much more so than other age groups.
Are there particular states or places where you think the youth vote made the biggest difference?
Well, one of the things that I think is important to point out as we talk about young people who voted in 2022 is that, like previous cycles, not all young people are voting in the same way. And so when we disaggregate the data, we see that Black women, Latina women, and women generally were much more likely to support Democratic candidates. And when we specifically look at what happened in battleground states, we see that there are some states like Arizona, like Pennsylvania, where young people were by far the age group more likely to support the Democratic statewide candidates for Senate in those particular states. But of course, there are other states where young people's votes mattered compared to the, you know, sometimes very small margins of victory. And that's one of the things that we really try to push back on. You know, there's this myth out there that young people don't vote. But the reality is that millions of young people cast ballots in every election. And so, you know, we forget sometimes that even without, you know, young people tripling turnout in some states like they did in 2018, that there's still substantial impact that young people can have with the strength of who they support together.
Why do you think we have seen this? I mean, young people have always voted, but, you know, we've heard for literally decades, ever since the voting age was lowered from 21 to 18, that the kids are going to save the country. They'll all turn out and they'll make a massive difference. And yet they never have turned out at the same rate as older voters. But now we've seen consecutive midterms where they have voted in larger numbers. What do you think is changing? Is it the school shootings motivating kids on guns? I mean, why is this generation, Gen Z, so passionate and more motivated than, you know, kids 10, 20, 30 years ago?
Well, you know, I'd love to hear a lot of young people speak to that. But from a research perspective, I think we see a couple of things going on. You know, the school shootings that you mentioned, unfortunately, have politicized some young people. And of course, in the 2018 election, we saw lots of young people get together and build on the gun violence prevention movement and connect that issue to elections and voting. Right, which is really important. But another thing that it did was that it started to provide opportunities for engagement for young people before they reach 18. And that's one thing that research pretty consistently shows us, is that when young people have opportunities to be engaged in politics, to be engaged in their communities before they reach 18, they're much more likely to be engaged later in life, right? And that's what we want. We want strong, inclusive, multiracial democracy. And so that is really an imperative for our communities. If we really want to sustain and increase and make sure that there's an equitable group of young people who have opportunities to participate and are welcomed into our democracy, we can't put it on their shoulders entirely. We as communities, you know, as members of institutions, as leaders in media, have opportunities to, you know, put a different narrative out there about young people, right? Because we've clearly seen that there is significant interest amongst young people, but our research pretty consistently shows that interest is not met with concrete opportunity or inclusive spaces often.
So the numbers show that, you know, generally speaking, the younger voters broke some roughly 2-1 for the Democrats, I think. What should the two major parties learn about reaching out to these voters to keep them engaged, to win their vote? It seems like there is not a lot of engagement for a lot of these kids. They're driving it themselves as opposed to the Republicans and Democrats going after them.
You know, there's some interesting things that the White House did this year, really trying to reach influencers, digital influencers, that I think was really interesting, that campaigns can also do to a greater extent. I mean, one of the things that is a real structural issue with what political parties and campaigns sometimes do is ignore people who are not yet registered to vote. And of course, that includes a whole bunch of 18 and 19 year olds. We really need to have a greater imperative to make sure that when a young person turns 18, they have all the resources and welcome that we want them to have to our democracy.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. I'm afraid we're out of time, but Abby Kisa, Deputy Director of CIRCLE, the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University in Boston, or actually Somerville. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can hear The State of California every weekday at 3:30 p.m. It's also available on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find me on Twitter at Sovereign Nation. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.